Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. A diagnosis of cancer is news no one wants to hear. Even when the prognosis is good, for many women, one particular side effect of treatment can be upsetting. A study on chemotherapy-induced hair loss found that nearly half the female patients surveyed regard hair loss as the most traumatic aspect of chemo. And 8% would decline chemo due to fears of hair loss.
A recent clinical trial tested a new device, scalp cooling caps, to reduce hair loss on women undergoing chemotherapy treatment for breast cancer. The results were notable. 50% of those using the cap kept their hair, compared to 0% of those who didn't. Here to explain how the scalp cooling cap works and what the next steps are for making this widely available is the study's lead researcher. Dr. Julie Nangia is assistant professor of medicine at the Breast Center at Baylor College of Medicine and is also the director of the Breast Cancer Prevention and High-Risk Clinic. Funding for the clinical trial was provided by the scalp cooling technology company, Paxman Coolers Limited.
Welcome to Take Care. Thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you for having me.
One of the things that may be difficult for somebody who has never undergone chemotherapy, particularly if they're female, is the understanding that hair loss is not a vanity issue. Even if you decide I want to be extremely private about my cancer treatment, I don't want to discuss anything, hair loss is basically a red flag that says something's going wrong, because no woman typically chooses to go from a full head of hair to nothing and a headscarf. So the work that you're doing speaks to that. And that 8% of women surveyed saying they didn't want chemo when chemo is highly effective, is that part of the reason why you pursued this research?
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know if the number in reality is that high, but there definitely are some women that will decline chemo because they're worried about hair loss. And a lot of those women end up in more holistic centers and aren't seen in traditional treatment centers. So, you know, the problem with hair loss is exactly what you said, is it's really more than just a vanity issue. Your hair is part of the way you look, who you are, and universally when I explain chemo to women, they cry when I tell them they're going to lose their hair. And during the process of losing hair, it's very difficult for them to look into the mirror because they see this person that looks so sick, even if they feel okay, and they don't feel sexy. It can affect their home life and their sex drive. And they can't even go watch a movie without people looking at them differently because they look sick. And so I think it's a really important quality of life issue. And now we are starting to try to offer more support for quality of life and making the everyday cancer journey easier for people, and not just women and not just breast cancer patients, which is what we looked at in our study.
I noticed in the research that cold caps have been used in Europe since the 1970s. I was a little taken aback by that because the 1970s were a while ago, and it seems like they took the lead on trying to address this issue. Why has it taken so long for the FDA to approve some of the cooling caps right here in the United States?
Yeah, so there's two basic different ways to cool the scalp and prevent hair loss. So one is by wearing a cap that's almost like an ice pack, and those have been in the U.S. for a long time because they're not devices and they're not subject to the same regulations. And the way that ice caps work is that they're stored on dry ice and they have to be changed out every 30 minutes, and it's very labor intensive. And when you put those caps on just like an ice pack, they're very, very cold when you put them on and they thaw out. And the problem with those is you have to have someone with you. They're very expensive, and you have to refit them every time. And the fit of these caps is really key to the success of them working. So the company I worked with is Paxman Coolers, and they actually invented this device because the CEO's mom died of breast cancer, and the only time she ever cried was when she lost her hair. So this family actually had a background in refrigeration because his grandfather invented the beer cooler. And so they were thinking that wouldn't it be great if we had this simple device that could make access to scalp cooling and the ability for people to keep their hair much easier. And so in the UK, they've offered this system since, I believe, 1997. And it hasn't made it into the U.S. because the FDA had some concerns about the risk for scalp metastasis. Because the fear is, one of the ways this technology works is that the cold constricts blood vessels in the scalp and then decreases the delivery of chemotherapy to the hair follicles and protects those hair cells. But the fear was that what if you had a cancer cell there that was also protected and it caused more recurrences of breast cancer? So this has been well studied in breast cancer and solid tumors in Europe and other countries. And the data was reported out a couple years ago, long term, that there was no difference in a couple big studies in overall survival or the rate of cancer coming back in the scalp. And that's when the FDA allowed this technology to come to the U.S. So the big delay was really concern about safety.
And now that we know that it is safe, why don't you describe for us what the scalp cooling cap that you work with in your study looks like? How is it used? How long does it have to stay on, et cetera?
Yeah, so the device is basically a mini refrigeration unit on wheels, and it would be just right next to the infusion chair where someone gets chemo. And it's hooked up to a piping that goes to a cap that is fitted to the patient's head. And there's five different sizes, so they would be fitted accordingly beforehand. And then there's also an outer cap that's made out of neoprene, which is like the deep sea diving suit material. And that outer cap actually has a large chin strap, and it has some kind of bungee cords on the outside. And that allows us to very tightly fit the scalp cooling cap to the patient's head. And that really is key, because if there are any gaps in the fit, you'll see patches of hair loss. And so this cap is fitted 30 minutes before chemo for the duration of chemo, and that could be anywhere from 1 to 3 hours, depending on the type of chemo someone's getting, and then for 90 minutes after. And the nice thing about the caps is you can also disconnect for up to 10 minutes to use the restroom or be moved to a different area if you were done with your chemo. So it's quite convenient. And I've worn the cap myself and talked to several patients about this. When you wear the cap, the sensation you have is a feeling of very cold for about 15 to 20 minutes, almost as if you jumped into a cold pool. But most people acclimate and say that it's reasonably comfortable after that first 15 to 20 minutes.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And we are talking with Dr. Julie Nangia, who is Assistant Professor of Medicine at the Breast Center at Baylor College of Medicine and is also the Director of the Breast Cancer Prevention and High-Risk Clinic. She has done a study on chemo cooling caps and their effectiveness in preventing hair loss. So, Dr. Nangia, how effective was the use of the cooling cap? What kind of hair loss are we talking about that it reduced, completely or partially?
The definition of success in the study was less than 50% hair loss not requiring a wig. And there were some women who hardly noticed any hair loss, but most women will notice some thinning up to 30%, but not where if they went out in public it would be noticeable to anyone. And in our study, if you include all different types of chemotherapy commonly used in breast cancer, half of their women who used the device kept their hair. And we had a control arm where women didn't get the cooling device, and 0% of women kept their hair in that arm. In the half of the women that kept their hair, there are different kinds of chemotherapy that we use in breast cancer treatments, and the scalp cooling is much more effective with the taxane-based type of chemotherapy versus the anthracycline-based chemotherapy. And this is an area that we are definitely going to look into more, is how do we improve hair retention rates with that other type of chemotherapy.
Are cooling caps available to all patients who request them, or are they not widely available as yet?
The biggest barrier is cost. So cooling caps can be very expensive, and a lot of patients can't afford them. And currently, it's not something that is a covered benefit with insurance. For example, like breast reconstruction is covered. So that is something I would love to see as a covered benefit under insurance. But the biggest barrier is cost, because cancer therapy is so expensive to begin with. And then the other barrier is, until these scalp cooling devices have started to make their way in the U.S., the only other option were the cooling caps, which I described earlier, and you actually have to physically bring someone with you to each treatment to change those out. So I'm hoping now that scalp cooling devices, there's one that's already available in the U.S., and the company I worked with applied for FDA clearance, so hopefully it will get cleared and be available as well. I'm hoping now that, we have devices that are easier for centers to use, and there's definitely patient demand, that you will see the cost come down, and you'll see that these devices are more widely available. But it's not something that everyone will be offered when they go in for infusion at this time. And then hopefully as we collect more data, especially about the benefit to body image and psyche, then maybe one day we'd be able to have this as a covered benefit under insurance where anyone who wanted it would have access to it.
Dr. Julie Nangia is Assistant Professor of Medicine at the Breast Center at Baylor College of Medicine and is also the Director of the Breast Cancer Prevention and High-Risk Clinic. Thanks so much for joining us and talking about your research.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.